All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 275 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by, as always, by Betano.ca. The game starts here, and the games are back tonight. Two games on slate in the NHL, and there'll be eight on Thursday. The week will progressively speed up until Saturday, when all 32 teams are back in action. Nine teams entering their bye week this week, and including the LA Kings, some new coach that we'll get to on that. Of course, you have also the lead up to the Super Bowl. It is prop bet mania. If you are a prop bettor, get to Betano.ca, because there is one for you. Anything you like at Betano.ca. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli. After a busy weekend, a huge amount of announcements across the NHL. Frank, I guess we'll start with the All-Star game. And
We got to start with your weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So my brother texted me on Thursday, loyal listener of the pod, and he goes, "What? No pod today?" And I said, "Well, I'm at All-Star and Jason is in Phoenix. He's seeing Post Malone at Waste Management." And my brother replied back and he goes, "Definitely did not have that on my bingo card. Greger seeing Post Malone in Phoenix." Tell us.
It was one of my wife's friends. She got four tickets for a Christmas present and asked if we'd come. So of course we went, and it was phenomenal. I toured around the golf course on Saturday morning, and because we stayed right at the Fairmont, which is attached to the course. And so you walk all around, you know, there's Aaron Baddeley and a few other players already there. Actually, we're walking down the fourth hole, and Baddeley's teeing off, and I'm just standing there, and he bombs one over our heads. And then he stops and say, "Hey guys, sorry about that. I didn't see him." Like, "I'm pretty sure you weren't going to hit me." So we had a little chuckle about that. And then I obviously have been to the Waste Management Open on TV. I've never been there, and they really expanded the 16th hole. It fits 20,000 people, Frank. Around the one golf hole. It's bananas.
So it's like the equivalent of selling out an arena, basically, yes, to have a concert there.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. And so
where do they put the stage in relation to the hole?
Well, they put the stage right in the middle of the hole, because where the tee box is, then there's a bunch of like shale and sand, because it's a par three, right, leading up to it. And so that's where they put the stage, basically right in the middle of the hole. And so it was, you know, our seats were basically, we were right parallel to the stage. It was phenomenal place. I do want to say a huge shout out to Big Steve. So, and I call him Big Steve because he's about 6'6". So as we're coming in, we had seats in section N, which is really good. And there was a suite level right above us. And so there's no one really guarding it there. And as I'm walking in, you know, this guy stops me and goes, "Hey, are you Jason Gregor?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man." He goes, "Hey, I'm a big fan of the Rundown. What do you, I just,
come on,
you're here." Yeah, no joke, man. Big Steve. That's why I'm shouting him out. And Big Steve's there. "Hey, man." He goes, "Are you in this way?" He said, "No, we're just sitting there. I'm just looking for a washroom." And he goes, "Well, here you go." And he gave me wristbands. He said, "Feel free." So it's all free booze. So big shout out to Big Steve. So he got us into the suite. It was unreal. Like, we still sat in our seats, but we just would go up and you get free booze all night. So it was amazing. But yeah, we had a chat. He's all, you know, he was kind of concerned about the Coyotes. He's become a big hockey fan. He's originally from out east. So that's why he's a diehard hockey fan. And he's like, you know, he's kind of torn on the Coyotes because he says, "Yeah, man, like, I want the team to stay here because I like NHL hockey, but the arena sucks. Like, come on, you can't, barely anybody can go to games now because it's too expensive." And he thinks they're going to leave. So, all right. Well, that's interesting. We had a really good chat.
Thanks to Steve for hooking you up. Let's start with the Coyotes then, because that was actually one of the big news topics of Friday. We had an hour-long press conference with Commissioner Gary Bettman and Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly. But the real fireworks were 10 minutes after that when NHLPA Executive Director Marty Walsh absolutely tore into the Coyotes. And look, this situation is coming to a head. I've been saying for months that the clock is ticking. Marty Walsh said on the record that the Coyotes have blown past two, quote, artificial deadlines to this point to present the NHL with a stone cold plan of when they're putting shovels and steel in the ground. And to his knowledge, they haven't made any progress. And he pointed out that as the former mayor of Boston and also the U.S. Secretary of Labor, he has relationships with a lot of politicians. And so when the Coyotes are trying to, you know, buy a piece of land that belongs to the city of Phoenix, like, you can't bullshit him. I'm sure he picked up the phone and called the mayor of Phoenix and said, "Hey, what's going on here?" So he's more or less saying, if you read between the lines, the Coyotes, to his knowledge, haven't made any progress on landing an arena in Arizona. And that would seem to leave them few options right now, especially with the Salt Lake City Entertainment Group, led by Utah Jazz owner Ryan Smith, putting out that expression of interest publicly last week. That really, I know he said he wants an expansion team, but he also pointed out that they can immediately, quote, immediately host an NHL team. So that part isn't lost on anyone. And I think we are within weeks of some kind of announcement. And what that is, you know, there's been lots of speculation behind the scenes from league sources.
There's only two options here, Frank. They're either going to get.
I actually think there's one more. Go ahead. Okay. What do you think the two are?
I think there's either an announcement they actually have land secured and they're gonna build a facility, or they got to relocate. Like, what's the gray area here? I don't see how they can get an extension. Bettman's basically said that. Like, they've got to have a solution here. They don't want to play in the tiny arena forever.
I think one other solution is to have a third party come in and take the Coyotes off of Alex Mariuelo's hands and keep the team in Phoenix and privately fund an arena. Meaning, no more relying on the government as essentially what Alex Mariuelo is trying to do. That's kind of the problem here is, if you go through a land auction deal, you're going to have to go through the full calendar year process to do so. And then you may still get challenged by public interest groups that are hot on your case after two different municipalities have told you no through a vote. So how do you avoid a referendum? That's really what the Coyotes are trying to do, is because they've lost two of them now. And that's the sticky part that they find themselves in. So I think there is a third option that isn't really much being talked about, but someone coming along that will just buy the team and then buy the land himself, so you don't have to deal with the government, and then privately fund a total, you know, new building.
Hmm. And again, not a great option either, because you're still years down the road before the building's actually complete, right? That's the I think that's the issue. So I think listen to Marty Walsh and how open he's been in his criticism. I think it's fair to say that the PA is not loving the current situation of the Arizona Coyotes. To put it mildly, and it's fair. Like it does not live up to the standards of any other facility in the NHL. Right? It's a beautiful college facility. Don't get me wrong. Like, you kidding me? Like, that part's awesome.
No, and I think that's the tough part is I'm a believer. You were just there. I'm a believer in the Arizona market. The wealth is there. The population is there. Oh. The climate is perfect. There's lots of people that would, lots of players that would want to live there and I'm sure love living there. The hard part is there's a lot of baggage that comes with this organization and frankly, the franchise team name and the lack of success that's been associated with it. I think the better play for them is to start fresh. But I thought it was really telling that when Gary Bettman had his press conference, he's not normally one to mince words. And he said, you'd have to find the clip, but he said something like, and I'm paraphrasing, Alex Mariello has told me that everything is on track for them to get a piece of land and get a building. And then he stopped and he paused and he said, reasonably confident that that can happen. And it was almost like he was publicly doubting the owner's ability to get this done, which, if you're following along, has almost never happened.
Yeah. And then you saw the Coyotes, with their tweet about flying a Keller back to Arizona. Like, that was some sort of, hey, Marty Walsh, look at us. We're professional.
Like, yeah. Like, and you know what I was thinking at the time I saw the tweet? I was like, congratulations. I'm giving golf claps. Congratulations on doing what every NHL team has been doing forever. Yeah. Like, it's literally 15 since I've been covering my first All-Star game was 2008 and I was covering the Flyers. It was in Atlanta and the Flyers had flown their guys back and forth on private jet. That was how many years ago? Is it 16 All-Star games ago? 16 years ago? Anyway. And you want to know the best part about that tweet is I'm reasonably confident, to use Gary Bettman's quote, that Heat Daddy, if you know him on social media, was not just in the picture, but on the plane.
Oh yeah.
He lives in Arizona. So I'm just piecing it together. No confirmation, but he looked like him in the photo. And then he posted on his own Instagram, Robbie Gucci, that he was on the plane. So I guess he got a free ride back to Arizona. I don't know. Either way, pretty awesome.
by the way, Post Malone concert, outstanding. That guy's a pretty talented singer. And if you're looking for things to do, Frank, I don't know. We went a double hike day, went to a Pinnacle Peak, which is kind of a nice warm up. And then we hiked up Tom's Thumb, which is what it's called. And it was a really good challenging. It's a round trip of about 4.5 miles, 2.3 up and down, and certain pretty steep parts there. So, but I will highly recommend that the concert.
What did you do when you got to the top? Did you sit on Tom's Thumb?
Well, no, dude, Tom's Thumb is so like, I have a picture of it. Like, I don't know how high it is. Like, the rock formations up there are amazing. Like, I was blown away, but no, we just, you took a few pictures and sat up there for a bit. And then you're like, okay, thank God we're at the top. Cause it was, it's getting a little tiring there for a while. So it was, that day, Frank had the old stepper, 30,000 steps.
And, oh, nice.
Lots of them up the hill. So that was a great way to spend a day. It wasn't too hot that day. It was like, 14, 15 degrees. So Celsius or sorry.
I feel so old leaving Toronto. Like every All-Star, there's always a bunch of parties, after parties, go see Bieber, go see whoever, Nelly Furtado. Like I was so checked out. There were so many things happening between starting off the trip with the Lindholm trade, followed by everything that took place on Friday morning with Todd McClellan being fired, the Sean Monahan trade, the Olympics announcement, the Four Nations challenge, face-off, whatever it is. I was gassed. I was like, I am going to have an old-fashioned or two, and I'm going to bed. I'm an old man.
So let's get to some of those announcements, and let's start off with the Four Nations. So I'm assuming there's no All-Star game then next year, right?
No All-Star game, correct.
Okay, so the
no All-Star game in 25 or 26.
Or 26.
Likely, very likely.
Very likely. Well, yeah, normally there's never an All-Star game in the Olympic year. So I think it's great that they're going to the Olympics. I think obviously the NHL players want it. All the fans wanted it. And, you know, the Four Nations, I'm sure you're gonna hear some backlash, because I agree it's not perfect, but it's still better than nothing is the way I would look at it. I think it's like a nice little teaser to the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm not going to get lost in the top players from other countries crying because we're going to get Canada and US meeting. Like, yeah. I know, US, like,
and Sweden and Finland.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, is it tough that David Pasternak and Czechia aren't in and Leon Draisaitl in Germany? Yeah, but why should everyone else hold off from a larger international play because of those countries and hurt feelings? The answer is they shouldn't. And the real backstory that no one's really willing to say publicly is, and the reason why Russia, I saw a lot of people complaining on social media, and I don't think they were bots, about Russia not being part of it. And it's like, do you not see what's happening around the world with a continued war that was unprovoked against Ukraine? Like, yeah, like that's not happening. They've been banned from international play. So it's not a true best on best, and we know that, but let's get Connor McDavid in a Team Canada jersey already. Let's get Austin Matthews in a Team USA jersey already with the Tkachuk brothers. Like, it's beyond time. And I personally think that rather than, like, if I were in charge, which obviously I'm not, what I would have tried to do is just a rivalry series. You don't need to play for a championship. That doesn't, the cup doesn't, whatever you win doesn't mean anything, because it's going to be a one-off. So you can claim supremacy. Okay, great. What I would have done is concurrent 5-game series, US, Canada, best of 5, Sweden, Finland, best of 5, and play that in Europe. Do Czechia, Slovakia, Germany, Switzerland, all 4 series, best of 5. And that's how you fill the 10 days.
Yeah.
Could be as little as 3, could be as many as 5. Then you get all the players involved.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all the eyeballs that you want. Canada, US, like, take that and hook it right into my veins. But if we get somehow a Canada, Finland final or US, Sweden final, in this Four Nations face-off, like, no one's going to be that excited about it.
I still think they'll be excited about it, because every Olympics, you can't be guaranteed it's going to be the two biggest rivals going at it in the final. I think, you know, the fact Canada and the U.S., they're going to play multiple games, right? And so...
They have the potential to play just once. Because what they're doing is, so they outlined all the details and I tweeted it out, but quickly, they're playing 7 games in 9 days, and it's from February 12th to the 20th, 2025. It's very likely, although it wasn't announced, but I reported, very likely to be played in Montreal and Boston, and it's a round robin. So 4 teams, you play 3 games in the preliminary round. The point system is 3-2-1-0, which I thought was interesting. And then the 2 top teams that get the most points advance to a 1-game winner-take-all final. So if Canada and the U.S. meet in the preliminary round and one of those teams doesn't make it to the final, then you don't get a second matchup, which I think might be the most disappointing part of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not ideal. But
after waiting so long.
Yeah. Well, I know.
Give us what we want.
Yeah. That's the one advantage the women's game has, for sure, because they get Canada, US all the time. And
they have an ongoing rivalry series.
Yeah.
That's why, like, outside of the worlds, outside of the Olympics, why can't we get a 5-game series?
Well, I guess you could look at it. I'm sure the players would come down to, hey, like, how much I need some time off, how much more am I playing, all those sorts of things. And I get it. I understand all that, right? Because they look and say, hey, you know, we want, they have the Stanley Cup and that's what they want. So it's going to be, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a good announcement for it. And it's a, as I said earlier, I think to me, it's just a nice teaser. It's not perfect, but it's better than the alternative. And I think you will have lots more fans watching that than they would on All-Star weekend. No question. And you know what? So it's a maximum, you know, four games for the guys. Now, obviously, just like we've had before, you know, guys going to get injured. Well, you can get injured in an NHL game. It's no different, right? I don't, players never go into games. I don't, people always talk about injuries. I don't, I'm like, why worry about an injury? You can get hurt in practice, right? Look at Cheadle and the New York Rangers. You can get hurt at any point.
Joe Sakic got hurt snow blowing his driveway. I mean, yeah. Honestly.
So it happens anywhere. So if anybody brings that up, just tell them to zip it. Like, you can get hurt at any point. And I think it's good for the game. Honestly, Frank, it's something that the hockey hasn't had for way too long, be over a decade since now. I guess technically we did have it in 2016,
but that wasn't best on best because whenever you have a Connor McDavid joke that the All-Star weekend felt like a Team North America reunion because almost all those guys from that team are there or at least a huge chunk of them, but that's not best on best.
No,
it will be in the Olympics, but only if Russia's there.
And quickly put a cap on the All-Star game. The skills competition, excluding Kucherov, definitely looked like it was more hotly contested and more enjoyable to watch from a fan perspective. When I got home on Sunday, I watched it with my son, and he quite enjoyed it. And you see the guys in different events, and I thought it went off quite well as far as everything goes. Like, I never complain about the game. The game's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be intense. I don't ever complain about the skill in the game is kind of surprising to me, but the skills competition was clearly the highlight and, you know, lived up to it.
Much improved. Pace, Tyler and I were sitting in the press box and we were like, oh, at least this is like moving on a lot faster than last year. The events were interesting. I thought that one-on-one player on goalie puck battle played really well. Obviously the traditional fastest skater and accuracy shooting, those are all, you know, home runs. And I liked it. And I liked that there was something on the line. I liked that, you know, you saw effort from a bunch of guys. Some guys didn't want to be embarrassed, really, outside of Kucherov, who my working theory was Kucherov was so bad in the first one that he just played up the rest of it like he didn't care.
Yeah, probably.
And yeah, I mean, probably some parts of it, any criticism are just a little bit overblown.
Now, Frank, I don't know if anybody asked or not, but did anybody ask McKinnon why he wasn't the fastest skater? My son wanted to know, and I was like, I haven't really been following it all, so I don't know the answer to that.
So players got to pick what they wanted to be in.
I know.
And I don't know that anyone asked him why he didn't want to be in that.
Because your odds, if you look back on it, your odds were the best. You go in the fastest skater, you're getting points automatic.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was by design.
Yeah.
By the way, there's only like, I wish like they put players in positions to really make it interesting. And I wish they played along a little bit better, like where you got to pick your goalie. And there was like, I'm picking Cam Talbot. And why is that? Because he's standing right in front of me. Like, come on, man, just put a stake in the ground and say something at least remotely interesting. We're handing you a microphone to ask why you're picking this goalie. And then it just became like, well, because he's the last one left.
Well, during games, there's some trash talk, but it's a different sport, right? Like,
but it could be fun. It could be like, hey, I'm picking this guy because, you know, we're gonna face each other in the playoffs, and I want an early test. Like, it doesn't need to be like, hey, we're gonna
need to be insulting.
Yeah,
that's fair. Well, no, they.
It was worth an effort from the league. It was just like, come on, guys, like, just give me a little something.
Well, for the first time of a new one, I think, and now we won't have it again until 27, most likely, that by then they'll probably have maybe to iron out a few things and, you know, have a few things a little bit different to make it better.
But I thought
it was vastly improved.
Yeah, way improved. And I was thinking too, just to clarify, because I said very unlikely 2026, just a reminder that in 2022, the league did plan to go to Vegas for the All-Star and then to Beijing to have players in the Olympics. I don't know that that will definitely be the case in 2026. So we shouldn't absolutely rule out a 2026 All-Star, but we know for sure the NHL announcing last week that there won't be one in 2025.
I know we're going to get to the trades later on with Tyler, but Todd McClellan and the LA Kings make the move. Of course, the Kings don't play until Saturday. Their first game back's against Edmonton. You know, they've got the interim head coach in Hillier. Do you think they'll be looking? Do you think Rob Blake is just like it's rare that an assistant coach has success when you get promoted from within. If you look historically in the NHL, it's hard to do. Not impossible. It's just harder to do. So, Frank, do you get the feeling that this is just a stopgap for LA?
No, I think they're clearly a believer in Jim Hiller. Like he's a 10-year NHL assistant coach. And what's most fascinating about it is that they said he'll be the interim for the rest of the season. Like they were clear and definitive. This isn't opening up a search, at least right now. This is our guy for the rest of the year. And I think honestly, what this does, and look, I'm not making any bold proclamation or anything, but when I see them make this coaching change and you fire a clearly really good coach, what this does is it puts Rob Blake on the hot seat. I think they're really feeling the pressure in LA. They, you know, they had their rebuild. They made the playoffs the first time, maybe a little bit ahead of schedule. They lose to the Oilers in 7 games. The next time, again, face the Oilers, lose. This year is not, it wasn't just about making the playoffs after the big trade they made getting Dubois. This was about being a team closer to contending than just making it. And the fact that they're kind of on the playoff fringes right now is very surprising. And the way this season has gone off the rails, it's got to be not just disappointing, but also turning up the temperature.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I didn't get the sense that, you know, that Blake would be on the hot seat. I could be wrong on that. I think there's obviously frustration in LA because, you know, people try to compare it to Edmonton, but Edmonton had 12 bad games. LA for the last 28 games, Frank, is ranked 27th in the NHL. Right? Like that's over a third of the season. So that's why to me, I think it's a little bit different. And so now Hiller will come out. He'll have a few days of practice with this team before they get back on the ice. And now they did win, just like the Oilers, funny enough. Well, they won their last game before they decided to fire the head coach. So obviously they had made the decision prior and they just didn't want to make it right before that game. So you know, I'm curious, like, I think LA, it's fair to say they've underachieved here the last third of the season. No question. They're a better team than that. And I'll be interested to see if, you know, if Hiller, you know, what's his approach going to be? Because ultimately, I think coaching, as has been proven in a lot of places, you know, you can have the same players, but a coach, it's how you connect them, what your communication is, you know, what you want to instill in your team, and they respond, right? Like, you look at Edmonton, they haven't changed their players. Right. Now they change a little bit of a strategy from Paul Coffey on the blue line and then, you know, limiting plays through the middle of the ice. But and they were also a good team before. And that's why LA's been a pretty good team here now for 18 months. They've had a terrible run the last 2.5 months. And so I'm curious how quickly Hiller can bring them back around, because it's not like, you know, you're a coach that gets fired. You come into a bad team, Frank. I think coaches that come in on bad teams, like, it's really hard to take a bad team. They're bad because they don't have a lot of talent. LA's got talent. And
they've got tons of talent. They've got, yes. I think they've got talent out the ass, honestly. Like, think about, go through their team and their roster. Like, where would you even add? Look at some of the guys that they have playing in the AHL that have been back and forth. They've just vastly under, I mean, look at the huge step that Quinton Byfield has taken this year. Like, they've had a couple guys underachieve. But I'm looking at this team and I go, I don't even know where I'd pick a player to add. What position? Maybe third pair left shot. There's maybe goal. I mean, obviously the goaltending, because Cam Talbot's come back to earth. But how, like, I just to while you're speaking about the team, I was looking at the longest tenured GMs in the league. And if you take the top 10, Rob Blake is 7th. He's approaching 7 calendar years in April 10th, 2017. And all the common thread that ties all of these longest tenured guys together is that they've had success with their current team. Doug Armstrong, longest tenured, won a Stanley Cup. Kevin Cheveldayoff, Western Conference Final 2018. The one outlier, Jarmo Kekalainen, no playoff success to speak of. One round one in what will be next week, 11 calendar years. Jim Nill, Stanley Cup Final, Dallas Stars. Brian McClellan, Washington Capitals, won the Stanley Cup. Don Sweeney, 2019, Stanley Cup Final with the Bruins. Rob Blake, LA Kings, first round exits. Don Waddell, Carolina Hurricanes, conference final. New York Islanders, Lou Lamoriello, conference final. Julien Brisebois, two Stanley Cups. Like, they've all had success, right? Rob Blake, yeah, they went through the rebuild. And look, I'm not saying that he's getting fired or anything. I'm just saying I think they're facing significant pressure with the Kings. As a total organization, they need results.
Well, it'll be fun to see kind of where it plays out from here. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk to the pod. Ty, how you doing?
I'm doing good, gentlemen. I got a bit of a raspy voice after living it up at All-Star Weekend. Went and saw Nelly Furtado, but full disclosure, as I posted on my Instagram, I thought I was seeing a different Nelly. So I was out there with some friends or whatever, and someone said, hey, I got tickets to go see Nelly on Saturday night. Do you want to go? And I was like, hell yeah. Like, a Nelly concert? That's sick.
Like Nelly from the Lou?
I thought it was like Nelly the rapper. Like, it's getting hot in here. Nelly from the Lou.
That was a different All-Star game. He was at the one in St. Louis.
Oh, there you go. So I showed up and I was like, wait, it's Nelly Furtado? Who calls Nelly Furtado just Nelly? No one.
And I think did you have an Instagram and you were like, damn, I forgot how many good songs she had.
She did. She's got a sneaky amount of bangers. So it was a good concert. But anyways, yeah, I'm back with a raspy voice because I partied hard. But either way, Buy or Sell is brought to you by DoorDash for a limited time. Our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app and enter the code NATION25, you can take advantage of the Double Dash feature this week. It's when you add a second restaurant onto your DoorDash order for no extra fees. So maybe you and your significant other never agree on what you want to get. Just Double Dash. Each get your favorite spots with no extra delivery fees. Let's get into our buy or sell. And we'll start with the Lindholm deal to the Vancouver Canucks. That top six, that forward group in Vancouver is looking good. But I want to know where you guys rank it in the Western Conference. So, sorry, it is fill in the blank today as well. I messed up on that. This Canucks forward group is blank best in the West. Frank?
I'm going to go. So are we going 1-4 or one top two lines?
Do 1-4, full forward group.
I'm going to say they are. Second. You know what? If we're going full forward group, I'm going to say third.
Who do you have above them?
I'm going to go Edmonton 1. And I think I'm going to go. Ooh, this is really hard. I think I'm going to go Winnipeg 2.
Interesting.
But I'm really thinking about Dallas 2.
Jason?
Well,
I still don't love the Canucks bottom six.
Yeah, I look at Vancouver and. To me, I just look at their forward group. They lead the NHL in goals right now with 165, right? The most of any forward group. They just added Elias Lindholm, who I know he's not having the best goal scoring year, but you know they're pretty good. So, like, the one team who's got a sneaky depth, like good contributing offense, is Dallas, right? So I still might put the Canucks one, just because to me, so far their production is the best of any forward group all season long. Frank, Edmonton obviously is on a roll. They started so terrible that, the 12 games, they were like 26th in offense or something stupid. They've obviously picked up the pace. So they're close, but I agree with you. There's maybe a concern, the Canucks, but by adding Lindholm, now you just push everybody down a spot. And I think that just puts guys, you know, some third line guys now on your fourth line. So it's going to make it better. So I actually might put a top to bottom. I'm going to put them first now. But the potential for Edmonton or Dallas to surpass them is definitely there.
Yeah, that's fair. They've now made their big move. Let's go.
But
to
what
the
about
other-
Winnipeg?
I don't. The Jets don't score enough to me, man. The Jets are like 18th in forward points. So no, they're not even in my top five.
Let's talk about the ad they made. A lot of us were expecting that at some point ahead of the deadline, the Jets would go and add a piece down the middle. They do that, getting Sean Monahan. They give up a first round pick to make it happen. The Jets paying a first round pick for a rental in Sean Monahan is blank, Jason.
That's expected. I think, you know, Monahan's gonna play a pretty large role there. We've seen this before, and I wouldn't be shocked if he re-signs in Winnipeg, to be honest. So, you know, that I think when you look at Winnipeg and Cheveldayoff, they've done this before. I think it was Paul Stastny, and then they re-signed him. So I could easily see them re-sign there. Monahan's already, you know, he's played in Canada a lot, Calgary and Montreal. So I think he likes it. So I think, you know, we're talking, you know, a later first round pick. So I don't mind this trade at all. I think it's one that Winnipeg looks and says, I think there's a good chance here that we can re-sign this guy on a pretty decent deal here moving forward.
Frank.
So fill in the blank. The question was what? How evaluate the trade?
Yeah, the Jets paying a first rounder for Monahan is blank.
Market price. It just is. Like, go look at the comps I put out there. His production, his position, it all matters. Like, I've been saying this the last few days. The seasons change, the players change, the teams involved change, but more or less, you can set a watch to the market prices that are paid for teams for players at the deadline. And Sean Monahan just fits that late first round pick. I've been saying it forever. I got crushed on social media. Not the first time in the last number of weeks that was what the deal was going to be. And it was really fun to go back on Friday and read those receipts, but that's right where he was.
Well, we debated on the pod a while back. I said the return you're going to give up for Monahan compared to Lindholm and the production based on how Monahan's doing, like I'm going to monitor those teams because they're basically now going to be in the same spot. They're both going to be second line centers on their teams. So it'll be interesting moving forward to see kind of who gets the better value based on what they gave up.
Greg, you talked a little bit about Dallas and Edmonton and maybe teams that could add still or should be adding still in the next month. But now with Vancouver and Winnipeg making their big splashes, the team facing the most pressure in the Western Conference to make the next big move is blank, Frank.
Colorado.
Yeah.
I like their team. I think Nathan MacKinnon is just in absolute beast mode, but I think their forward core is is one of the more thin, and they're buffeted by the fact that they have a pretty deep defense core, but they also really need an upgrade in net. And so I don't know. I don't think Colorado was deep in on Sean Monahan. I think that they were one of the teams that had been in the mix on Lindholm. Because I also think it's fair to ask the question, how much of an upgrade is Sean Monahan over Ryan Johansson? I know he hasn't played well, but how, like, realistically, how big of an upgrade is that? How much does he increase your chances to win the cup? My answer is probably low single digits. But given, I think, the amount of work they have to do, they'd be one of those teams, I think, this week that's going back to the drawing board saying, hey, you know, Adam Henrique might be a nice fit. But given what the market was for Monahan getting a late first, Henrique's also going to get a late first. I don't know that he plays with enough pace to really be impactful in Colorado. And maybe they're one of those teams that's looking now saying, well, this was the price for rentals. How much extra would it cost me to get someone from a non-playoff team that has term that might be a better fit for the future?
Oh, I think it's Colorado all day long because MacKinnon and Rantanen right now are massively carrying them. Now, Nichushkin, when healthy, obviously gives them a lot. He's got 22 goals already. But, you know, after that, they don't have a forward of more than 28 points. Like, there's a significant drop-off in production. They're big three, and really their big two are carrying them. Now, they have obviously got Makar and Taves as an elite first pair defense. There's no arguing that. But yeah, I think Colorado's got to, they got to find a way. I think if when you get into the top six teams in the West, Colorado, now you go into a series, there might, I still would take their top two forwards over Dallas's top two or Winnipeg's top two, but the rest of the team, you're definitely the forward groups, you're going to say Dallas and Winnipeg. So I think it's Colorado for sure that's looking to move. I think all the teams, like Edmonton's going to add something. I'm not sure it's going to be a massive splash. We'll see. They definitely, at bare minimum, they need a depth, a seventh veteran defenseman, and probably want to get a right shot center if they could. But, you know, will they go out and get a second line right winger? There's like a proven scoring right winger. Maybe. There's lots of talk about upgrading their first pair right D. And I get the theory behind it, but the reality is it's a lot harder to do, right, for cost. So I think Colorado, though, has more holes right now amongst the top teams in the West.
Fair enough. All right, guys, there you go. That is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell, as always, delivered by DoorDash.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, like when you crunch down the numbers, man, like Nathan MacKinnon is, he's having such an unreal year and really almost like single-handedly kind of carrying Colorado. Rantanen's been very good, but even he's almost 20 points behind him. So, you know, MacKinnon's having himself a heck of a season. There's no debate. I think he, right now today, he'd be, I know Kucherov has one more point than him, but if you look at most valuable to your team, I know it's close, but I think MacKinnon might be there, you know, a little bit ahead of him. So we'll see what happens.
It might be... Tyler, mark this down. It'll be fascinating to do this exercise again, like April 10th, the week before the playoffs, because if you're getting Landeskog back and you've traded for a center and you've up, you know, I mean, the goaltending wasn't part of the question, but there is a chance that the Avs look vastly different when it comes playoff time, which is really when it matters. And you know, I don't know how big of a swing Dallas is going to take. I think they like their team a lot. And I think you arrive at an interesting point with Edmonton, because I don't, based on what the market is showing right now, like who's really exciting you, this market gets thin in a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not like, I think, you know, but I've looked and I've done a lot of the studies over the deadlines. Like some of the best trade deadline acquisitions haven't been the big names, right? Like you look,
it's usually Michael, not.
Like Michael Hanzu still might be one of the greatest deadline acquisitions of all time.
When the Michael Chicago Kempney, I mean, go through the list. Like there, it's usually not this huge, sexy acquisition that gets it done. And the last two cup winners didn't trade a first.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't, you know, I don't see Ken Holland in a first unless it's for a guy, as you mentioned, Frank, kind of like Colorado with term, right? I could see that. They would love to do another Ekholm trade, but those trades are hard. Like those trades don't come along very often, right? Like I get the theory behind it, but when you look at how many of those guys get dealt regularly, it's not many. So, you know, you get a guy with, you know, you got 3 years of term with him. So that's a pretty big advantage for them. Speaking of trades, Frank, what do you make of the, like, Dubas and the Penguins? What are you hearing on Gensel? We are, you know, just a month out from a trade deadline.
Still too early. I know that they went into the playoffs just, or the, sorry, the break. Certainly not feeling best about where they could be. They had played well for a stretch and then kind of came back to earth. They're a really uneven team and they haven't found a way to play really with any sort of consistency. And maybe at some point we're 46 games in. Do you need to see 55? Do you need to see another month's worth of action to really know what this team is? I just think they owe it. They have to give these guys the longest runway possible. Like, I think it should go down to the absolute wire on Gensel. How close are we? What are our chances to make it? And how will we navigate this? Because I see it as black and white. You're either keeping him and you are using him for the playoff run and he's walking for nothing, or you're trading him at the deadline for an absolute haul.
So you think there's no chance they resign him?
I don't want to, it's not no chance, but I think that would be an absolute mistake. So let's say they re-sign him and then they miss the playoffs. Two consecutive years of missing the playoffs with a healthy Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, with a 100-point defenseman in Erik Karlsson, and a umpteen-time all-star in Chris Letang. You're going to sign Jake Gensel for 8 years to be what? The best player on the 32nd place team? I mean, that's where they're heading.
Yeah.
Look how thin it gets. Look at their prospect pool. Look at, they don't even have a first round pick this year. They already traded it for Karlsson. They are going to be the worst team in the league for at least 8 years. At least. We've talked about a rebuild doing it right, 8 years.
Yeah.
They're starting from zero. At least some of those teams had a prospect pool. The Penguins don't have anything.
So, yeah, maybe you move Gensel and that's the start of it. And then you consider, like, did Sidney Crosby say, hey, you know what? Maybe like next year at the trade deadline, Sidney Crosby could have lots of value for your team. Right? Could he be a Ray Bourque?
I'd be shocked if he moves on. But that's just me. I've always viewed him as Penguin for life. But
do you think he wants to sit there knowing that they're going to be terrible? Like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews health injuries, but you know, Patrick Kane and them are like, yes, they're going scorched earth. I don't want a part of it. They probably don't want him a part of it. What would be the motivation for Sidney Crosby to stay other than say
your franchise value plummets? Quite literally. That team is a lot less valuable without Sidney Crosby selling tickets.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And just,
hey, speaking of Crosby, Frank,
he's won three Stanley Cups, by the way. Like, it's not like he's reached the pinnacle multiple times with that team. It's not like he's searching, longing, waiting. It's not Ray Bourque.
Yeah, that's fair. So you're making a lot of friends with the Penguins fans with the Sidney Crosby comment, I see.
That it's still blowing up. I'm still, my feed is still sparked. Here's what I would say. First off, if you're going to come at me about my weight, trust me, you can't hate me more than I already hate myself. Okay, that's one. And two, that's old material. Like,
it's a lame. That shows you don't have anything. Like, you have nothing of a rebuttal. Like, because for anybody who's listening, basically Frank said, hey, man, like Sidney Crosby, because he wasn't there at the draft on the Thursday for the NHL All-Star game, right? That, you know, there's been a few times where he's not shown up at kind of mandatory events.
And my point wasn't to crush Sidney Crosby or question his character or say he's a bad person. That's really not what the point of it was. And I loved the second favorite part of it was like all the comments about, oh, well, that's just a guy from Philly. Like, of course he hates Pittsburgh. Come on. But the point of it was, no one ever says anything critical. It's almost like, you know, you are attacking a beatified saint. And that's not really what I was trying to do. My point is, no one says, hey, we had a player draft here, All-Star Thursday night. It's an official league event. All of the All-Stars are there. Sidney Crosby is in Montana at Yellowstone. Why? And then people were saying, well, doesn't he deserve a break? Yeah, but they just had a bye week. The whole idea of players can't come to All-Star because they don't get a break, that's actually why they instituted the bye week and shaped it around All-Star weekend to guarantee that even the biggest stars in the world that show up still come to All-Star weekend. And is it the end of the world that he didn't show up? No. Does he do extra media to make up for not being there at the player draft? Yes. My whole point was, pick another player. Sidney Crosby doesn't get any criticism. I'm going to just say this out loud, the part that no one wants to say, because he's Canadian. If this was a big name American star, if this was Alex Ovechkin, or if he was still playing well, whoever it might be, they would be getting raked over the coals. What is this guy, too big for the NHL? And then everyone says, well, he carried the league on his back for a decade plus. He deserves some time off. Like, I guess, like, again, I'm not, no part of me is attacking Sidney Crosby. He's an A plus gold standard human being, great person, all of those things. My whole point was, he doesn't show up and everyone's like, oh, whatever, all good, because it's Sid. I'm sorry. That's just like, that's not how it works.
Was he trying to get the car? Did he want to get drafted last? No, I'm kidding. But
there was no car. You know, they took the weeniest way out. Did you see it?
No, I didn't watch the draft.
Okay, so what they did, well, you and everyone else, it only got 46,000 viewers in the US. What they did was, the last four guys, since there were four teams, they had Dave Keon come out of the 1967 Toronto Maple Leafs and hand them each envelopes, and they like shuffled up the envelopes, and then in them was, hey, this is the team you're going to, and everybody opened them up at once. I mean, come on, really? Like, for the test of time, on playgrounds everywhere, 7 and 8 year olds, some kid is getting picked last. I'm fairly certain that a 28 to 35 year old millionaire NHL all-star can handle the brunt of being picked last, but apparently not in this era of no hurt feelings.
Yeah. That's not surprising to me. Look at Phil Kessel, Phil the Thrill. It didn't bother him at all. He was, he had the perfect, whatever. He laughed about it, as he should. Like, who cares? I'm still at the all-star game. It's not like you're the last, like somebody has to be last. Just like somebody has to be first. Doesn't mean the first pick is automatically the best pick. It's just how it is.
It just blows my mind. But hey, you know what? I guess you can't say anything about Sid. So it's just like, my mind is still blown. Like
he's going to get traded.
I had a guy tweet me. He's like, you know why Sidney Crosby wasn't there? And I'm like, this is the type of guy Sidney Crosby is. My daughter has cancer, and he autographed and personalized the stick and sent it to her. Like, that's an amazing story. And again, there is not one negative word to say about Sidney Crosby as a person. The gold standard of what every professional athlete and person should be. But these two things can be true at the same time, that Connor McDavid has been to more All-Star games than Sidney Crosby because he doesn't like it. Part of it, he was injured. One year, I think he got suspended for not showing up. Another year, like last year, he also didn't show up to the first day when everyone did their media. It's just like, it's okay to point it out. That's all I'm saying. It's okay. Well, I'll make it. And you're not going to hurt my feelings. I promise. You can tweet me all you want.
Frank, we've had a few deals, which is nice leading up to it. You look at, obviously we have the trade bait board, and there's a few guys off the trade bait board already. Guys who are right near the top. Who do you, like, is there a team, we've talked about Colorado, but is there a team that you think is going to move quicker than others. Pittsburgh, obviously, probably not with Jake Guentzel. They kind of want to see where they're at. And do you think there's going to be a few teams that might end up being sellers that people don't think are going to be sellers? Like, where do you come out in the Devils?
I don't know where to come out on the Devils, honestly.
Because Tyler Toffoli would have some interest by a lot of teams, I think. Guys won Stanley Cups. He's having a really good year. He had a really good year last year.
Yeah, here. By the way, I wanted to pass along a tidbit. One of the, and I've been trying to figure this out all weekend. One of the teams that was down to the wire on Sean Monahan was a team that we hadn't pegged as being in the market for a center. And they were also willing to offer a late first round pick. And I was surprised. I don't know the team, and I've been trying to sleuth it out, but that plus I thought it was really intriguing that the Avs put Ivan Prosvetov on waivers. He cleared, but Justus Annunen was the guy they called up, who they obviously like and believe in, but is not ready to be the 1B to Georgiev, who, by the way, the most overworked man in hockey through the All-Star break, comes to Toronto and makes the most saves in the skills competition and wins $100,000. So good on him. But that Prosvetov thing kind of made me wonder, are the Avs going to address their goalie situation first before addressing the center part?
Well, they should, because they got to do it sooner than later. Cause you're right. Otherwise, Georgiev, if they make it to the playoffs, he's going to be done, right? Like, he's already started 40 games right now, same with UC Saros, both of them. But you compare that to Demko's five fewer games, Hellebuck, five fewer games, Stuart Skinner, seven. Like, you look at the top teams, obviously Ottinger's being hurt, right? But that stuff cumulative adds up a lot. So I think Colorado, Frank, it's a good point. They would need to make a move quicker rather than wait until March 7th. Cause by then, heck, Georgiev could be up to 48 starts by then.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
more.
A crazy number.
Yeah. Like, you just, now some would argue, hey, goalies should be able to do it.
But the Avs have said publicly, Chris McFarland, go listen to Frankly Speaking. I had him on a couple weeks ago, said point blank, too much, way too much.
Yes.
So he may be able to do it. That doesn't mean his GM wants him to.
No. So, like, and I'm curious what San Jose's thought process is on Mackenzie Blackwood, right?
Well, San Jose's thought process on anyone should be extracting any pieces of value possible.
Yeah, but if it's a mid-round pick, I guess maybe they can say, well, they're going to be bad anyway, so who cares who their goalie is? And there's probably some truth to that. But, man, like, you go into a season with no chance, no chance even be remotely competitive on a nightly basis because you don't have a goalie. Like, Kaapo Kähkönen, I'm sorry, he's not the answer. Right? Like, he's not getting any
better. Who's the bigger mess, the Blue Jackets or the Sharks?
Oh, the Sharks. The Blue Jackets got some good young players, man. Juracek, they'll figure it out. He'll play there. We got Fantilli. Like, who, name a Sharks best player. Like, I guess it's Eklund under the age of 24. And who else is coming? Anybody? Like, dude, they missed the playoffs for 4 years, and they have no young top prospects. Well, I guess maybe Will Smith, you could say.
Well, yeah, I mean, what about Mooka Badoolin?
I got to see more, maybe. Like, fair. I
mean, he made his debut this week.
Yeah, but like those, you know what? Hey, if he turns out, that's awesome. It's, but I look at San Jose, man.
That was a huge piece of the trade.
Timo Meier deal.
Yeah, I mean, that they picked, my understanding is they picked Mooka Badoolin over Alexander Holtz.
Yeah, and we'll see. Maybe they're right. But I look at the Sharks, and Columbus, to me, has way better high-end prospects today than what they have in San Jose.
This is not even close.
No. Like Fantilli and Juracek, just start there. I think those two are really good. Then you go Kent Johnson, and down the list, they got some other ones coming. So
yeah, Juracek, hat trick in the AHL.
I saw that. Yeah, it's good for him. Just
amazing how that works. Shouldn't be in the AHL doing things that prove that they shouldn't be in the AHL.
Yeah, there is a valid point that Columbus is going nowhere, why you don't have him playing the NHL and playing big minutes. What are you waiting for? Now's the time to let him learn and make mistakes.
Yeah. And before we go, today, obviously it's happening after our pod wraps, but the London Police Service holding a press conference in London, the lawyers for the four NHL players and one former NHL player, they were in court. They're beginning the sharing stage where, I don't know the proper term, disclosure, where the government shares the evidence that they have with the attorneys. The next hearing is on April 30th, but we'll have some reaction for you on Thursday to the London Police Service press conference when we convene again on the rundown, which, what'd you say the guy's name was? Big Steve? Big Steve, Big huge Steve, fan. Buddy.
I in love Arizona. It.
Love that guy.
What'd you make of Bettman's press conference in regards to the...
I thought it was... On the whole, I thought it was about as good as they could do. They didn't run from any questioning. They sat there for as long as it took for everyone to empty their notebook. They were combative in certain things, and I thought it was a tough look at the time when the commissioner stopped Robin Doolittle from the Globe and Mail after her string of questions, but then the fact that she got the mic again after the fact when others had the chance to ask more was sort of washed that away. And I think the league is in a spot where it doesn't really make any sense to act without having gone the legal system, having done its due process. Because if you were to punish players and then they're found not guilty, you're going to be in a really tough position.
Haven't they done that though with Formington?
No, because Formington was offered a qualifying offer contract and he turned it down, which is pretty standard place for someone that, you know, believes they're due a raise, but that was his own choice. If he had taken the qualifying offer, he would have probably still been in the NHL today. So he has no recourse. You can't go back and unring that bell. I think the other interesting part is we know that this is about to be a long process and these players have taken their leave of absence. You know, the court may not hear these cases until 2026.
But none of them have a contract past the end of this.
And that's the point that Gary Bettman made, was like a lot of the talk about these players will kind of be moot. He didn't say that, but that's read between the lines of they're probably going to be non-factors for a while. They've taken a leave. Obviously, no one's going to sign them at this, you know, moment in time when, you know, if the summer rolls around, there's not a significant development.
So they'll all be unrestricted free agents potentially in the summer.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they might follow in Formington's footsteps and go play overseas.
I think the big question that I wish if I had a chance to ask it now would be given that due process needs to play itself out, if these players wanted to return from their leave of absence, would the league allow them to? That's the key question to ask that I wish in real time I had been smart enough to ask.
Yeah. I'm gonna guess no, but it's a fair question for sure. So, Frank, before we go, remind everybody the Wendy's Daily Face-Off Survivor Pool is back on. You can get in, of course, games today, tomorrow, all through the week. And Frank will just try to get to Tuesday. The good news is, Frank, there's only two games tonight. So maybe you got better odds to find an option that will get you through to Tuesday.
Just got to pick one. That's all you need.
Easier said than done. If you've yet to play, you can win $5,000 in cash. Of course, great weekly prizes and more. Frank's just hoping just to not get shut out. He's just hoping to get one prize all year.
It's legit. Like I'm telling you, it is legit.
Legit hard. That's go to dailyfaceoff.com and look up in the top right corner for the Wendy's Survivor Pool. We will chat Thursday. Frank, games back underway. Of course, we'll see. Could the Edmonton Oilers have tied the NHL record for longest win streak? They're in Vegas on Tuesday, and we'll have more on the Hockey Canada fall because we'll hear from the lawyers and what they have to say later on today. And who knows? Maybe we'll have a few trades by Thursday. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. And let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.